It is good for us to gather together in God's house and to worship God together. And we pray that God does pour out God's Spirit on his people, on us gathered here. Our second scripture reading for tonight, thank you to Tracy for beautifully reading the first one. The second scripture reading is the story of Pentecost. And so I'll read that. I'm going to read it tonight from the Message translation, so it's a little bit different than what we're used to hearing, and Catherine, it may not jive with what you've got, so maybe we don't need it up there, I don't know. Whatever you decide. But hear these words that God gives to us tonight. When the feast of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Without warning, there was a sound like a strong wind, gale force. No one could tell where it came from. It filled the whole building. Then, like a wildfire, the Holy Spirit through their ranks flowed and started sparkling and sparking in number of different languages as the Spirit prompted them. The Spirit rested upon each of them and filled them with a sense of new life and hope. And Peter stood up and Peter stood up and, backed by the other 11, spoke out with bold urgency. Fellow Jews, all of you who are visiting Jerusalem, listen carefully and get this story straight. These people aren't drunk, as some of you suppose. They haven't had anything to drink. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. This is what the prophet Joel announced would happen. In the last days, God said, I will pour out my Spirit on every kind of people. Your sons will prophesy and your daughters will dream dreams. Your sons will prophesy and your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. When the time comes, I'll pour out my Spirit on those who serve me, men and women both, and they will prophesy and they will know that the day of the Lord has come. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. And would you bow your heads with me in prayer? Holy God, you are the one who is the source of all true vision. You are the one who is the source of life and light. You are the way, the truth, and the life. And so we offer this time to you again, O God, but particularly we pray that you would break open the scripture and speak a fresh word to us. Lord, that you would continue to shape us in your image into the people that you would have us be for you, not just as a community, but individually in our own lives. Give us clear vision. Give us, O God, your Spirit to lead us each step of the way. And Lord, do remind us that your presence is not dependent on our experiencing, feeling you, Lord, that your presence is here undergirding us. In fact, your presence is the very breath that moves in and out of our bodies. And so we give you thanks and honor and glory and praise, and we do ask you to open our eyes, open the eyes of our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So we are in a season of talking about visioning here at Christ United Methodist Church. And the idea is that we're talking about visioning, and we are praying into visioning for this congregation. But the idea of vision applies to each of us in our own lives, in our own unique walks with God, in our unique relationships. The idea of vision permeates everything. And it is important for us to understand what this means. There are visions that are not of God, right? But the visions that of God are always visions that are for good and not for evil, to build us up, not to tear us down, to unite us rather than divide us. The visions given from God are consistent with who Jesus shows us, who God is in Scripture, with who Jesus himself is. Proverbs, the book of Proverbs tells us, where there is no vision, the people will perish. So it is so important that we as a people of faith are continually going before God and asking for God to continue to guide our steps and our ways, to make clear our path. And here's the amazing good news, that when we seek God, God always comes through. There is no such thing as someone begging the Lord for guidance and God turning his back to help someone else. When we ask the Lord for his mercy, he always comes through, and he comes through in spades. When we ask the Lord for guidance, you can bet that your life will be led by him as you seek him, and it may take you in places that you weren't expecting to go. It is amazing when we open our lives to the one true living God. Where there is no vision, the people will perish, Proverbs says. Vision is the bridge between the present and the future, and without vision, we can live our lives personally and as a community of faith unrestrained. And sometimes we even find that we may feel ourselves perishing. Vision for the future gives our present meaning and purpose. Vision is what we see, but also the way in which we see it. Vision is the lens that interprets the events in our lives and the way we view one another and God. In Scripture, Jesus tells us that our eyes are the window of our soul into our heart. And Paul reminds us and prays that the eyes of our hearts may be opened and enlightened. Jesus himself is the lens through which we view reality. We know other disciplines, right? We know psychology, we know political science, we know mathematics, we know science. And all of those are gifts of God. And they are all used for God's purpose when we allow it, right? But the primary lens through which we as followers of Jesus view the world is through the lens of Jesus himself, the way, the truth, and the life. What we believe, we know this, what we believe determines the way we respond to the world around us and to God who lives within us. A little story about vision. There were three bricklayers laying a wall, okay? Three bricklayers. Imagine with me these bricklayers that are laying a wall, okay? And they are taking one brick at a time and putting the mortar on it, laying them. And a man came up and said to the men, "What is it that you're doing?" And the first man looked at the one who was asking as if he had, you know, two heads, and said, "What does it look like we're doing? We're laying bricks." The man turned to the next guy who was laying bricks, and he said, "What is it that you're doing? Can you explain it to me?" And the man said, the second man, "Can't you see what I'm doing? I'm building a wall." And then the last man was asked, "What is it that you're doing?" And he said, the third man said, "I am building a great cathedral for God." Hear the difference? They're all true, right? They are laying bricks. They are building a wall. But what is the vision? The vision changes everything, right? If you think you're just laying bricks, one brick after another, there is not a lot of sense of purpose and a connection to a broader reality. But the third man was able to say clearly, "I am building a great cathedral for God." So this includes not just the steps that are being taken or the goals, right? The first one is the steps, the laying of the bricks. Second one was a goal, a wall in that moment, a short-term piece of it, right? But the third gave a vision, which included all those things, the steps, the goals, and the vision. Vision gives purpose because we see the larger picture. Someone once said, if you want to build a great ship, you can go out and find a very talented craftsman. Or you can go out and find a craftsman who loves the sea. Isn't that amazing? You can find a very good craftsman who could indeed build a great ship, but you can find a craftsman who loves the sea. And friends, I am here to tell you tonight, we love the one who gives us vision. And that is God Almighty revealed in Jesus Christ. It is his vision that we are working towards, his vision of God's kingdom fulfilled, that Jesus himself broke into our reality when he was born among us as one of us, incarnate. God's vision changes everything. Because when Jesus was born, being a human wasn't just struggle and strife, but it became the edge of glory. The mundane became the edge of glory. Our relationships became the place where Jesus is present because of his humanity. He became one of us. He became like us so that we may be like him. The vision of God is so great and profound, and we in our limited lives and limited minds often only think about laying the bricks, right, one after another, or we think about a great craftsman, but sometimes we forget that there is the dreaming us that is God Almighty, and we are a part of God's vision, of God's work on earth. The people of Israel were a people who were caught up into the vision of God. They were slaves in Egypt, and God saw their oppression, and God chose them to be in covenant relationship with him. He chose them as his people, and he brought them out of bondage and slavery into the promised land so that their lives that were toil and trouble became vision and glory. But even in their walking in the covenant relationship with God, we know that they were human, and so they continued to make mistakes. They continued to turn away from God. And the whole book of Isaiah is amazing because all the beginning of Isaiah up to about chapter 40 really is talking about how the Israelites have turned away from God. So Israel is one of the major prophets who is declaring their need to turn back to the covenant God who has called them by name, who's given their lives purpose and meaning. And then the second part of Isaiah that Tracy read tonight, of which a part is that Tracy read tonight, is that God then says, let's turn from our former ways, you Israelites. We know that you've turned away from me, but now I am doing a new thing among you. Can you not perceive it? I am doing a new thing in your midst. I'll reread just part of that. Forget about what's happened in the past. Don't keep going over your old history. Be alert, be present. I'm about to do something brand new. It's bursting out. Don't you see it? There it is. I'm making a road through the desert, rivers in the Badlands. I'm doing a new thing. And so today, as we ponder these scriptures, as we ponder these scriptures of visions, how God gives us vision and we are living in God's vision, we are reminded that we come to times throughout our lives when we are called to revision and to renew and to remember who we are called to be as God's people in a vision of moving forward in serving God in our lives. There's a story about a couple who had been married for 30 years, and they went to a marriage renewal weekend. And at this marriage renewal weekend, one of the questions was, why were you all called into marriage in the first place? What drew you to one another? Well, some of the couples there said, actually, it was my parents' idea. Some other couples said, our families had known each other for many years and it just made sense. Some other couples said, we met and somehow we were better with each other than we were apart. And others said, we fell in love and I loved who I was in this person's presence. But the last couple that I was talking about originally, they said, you know, we married one another because we felt led into the relationship and we had love for one another, but through the years we've broken each other's hearts and we have hurt one another. And now we are not sure what that original vision was. And the minister said to them, then you're in the right place, because being in a covenant relationship is all about allowing God to give you new vision, is reminding you of your old commitment, but also taking you into a new vision where you don't necessarily remember the things of old, the things that have broken you, but you allow God to give you a new vision of the future. And so I'm telling you, that minister said, if you allow God into your marriage and continue to pray and seek, even if you're not feeling it, God will change what is between you. And a year later, the couple came back and told the minister that indeed they had had a renewal of that covenant. Here at Christ Church, by the way, that is not always the case, right? That is in the best case scenario. But sometimes covenantal relationships break and do not mend. But the Lord is always working on our behalf, even in those times, to make all things new. But in the best case scenario, the covenant is mended. But in the great good news is that in covenant with God, we can never break that covenant. No matter what we do, no matter how we turn away, because when our love fails, his love remains steadfast, and he gave us Jesus to seal the deal. The Messiah who bridges our broken humanity with God's holiness. So the covenantal relationship with God is always alive and well. And when it is not, it is our end that is the problem. And so we just confess, we seek, and we ask again. So friends, my question for us tonight is, what is the new vision God is giving you as a follower of Jesus? How is God guiding you to be a part of his vision for this congregation, for this community of faith, but also for your walk with God in your life every single day? Do you see yourself as just laying bricks and not being important in God's vision, or do you understand that you are a part of building God's great cathedral, God's kingdom on earth? May God grant us the ability to step by step, day by day, follow his vision for us as he's making all things new. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. I would invite you to, it is important, if you would, to please fill out this congregational survey. This is a tool that is being used as part of the visioning process So I ask you to take a pen in front of you and to fill this out. And Justin's going to play for us a little bit. And then I'm going to give us about 5 minutes, and then we're going to bring those up and lay them down. And don't feel that you have to, you know, exhaust all these questions on the back. So I invite you to allow God to vision.